8:18 now, and on the phone with me, I have Summit County Council Chairwoman Kim Carson. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, and happy National Radio Day.
Thank you. So you were at Tuesday's Council of Government meeting, and let's just talk a little bit about your reaction to the issues over the food inspections, the county fair dates conflicting with other events.
As far as the health department and Mayor Wolstenholm from Oakley's concerns, they had a really good discussion on the reasons why we do the inspections. You know, it's for the protection of not only the citizens, but of the city, too. If an outbreak occurs and they haven't gotten the permit, the food handler hasn't, then that could result in a lawsuit against the city, you know, and, of course, the food handler. So it's to protect everybody. Rich agrees that there needs to be a process in place if somebody does happen to just forget, to make it happen in a more timely manner. So they're working on some type of a portable system for them to be able to do that and take the fees required. He doesn't like to have his personnel walking around with cash, which is understandable. That's a big safety issue. So I think they came to a good understanding, and they're both going to work towards, you know, Mayor Wolstenholm will work towards ensuring that everybody understands they've got to have food permits in order to serve food at their events, and Rich is going to work on those other items I mentioned.
So in terms of, though, the county fair dates conflicting with other events, I mean, did we move the county fair up a week or something?
No, you
or?
Know what it was is it was affecting the barrel bash. They wanted to do some preliminary rounds, so they had 2 days of preliminary races. I mean, this is my understanding. I hope I've got that right. Before they did the finals at the actual fair 2 weeks later. And Oakley is a very busy arena, and that's the space they needed to do it. So they kind of fit it in when Oakley had an opening. And, of course, they probably had the opening because they didn't have events that wanted to compete with Camus's events around the 24th of July. So
okay. That
was something that just slipped through. And Travis English took full responsibility. He's our fair director, and we're going to work on things. Anita Lewis has taken it upon herself to the responsibility to help ensure that we have some type of a master calendar so these things don't happen in the future.
Okay, I need
and
to...
We'll probably work... I know the chamber already has something like that in place, but we need to make sure that that's used by everybody in the county.
Okay, I need to rip through some of these issues real quickly here. So let's see. You had a consultant from SWCA discussing areas with a septic tank where Silver Creek, Stagecoach Estates, parts of Highland Estates, Ridgeview, Timberlines. What areas were ranked as having the most problematic systems?
Well, there's areas within each four of those districts that are very problematic. And they'll continue to work with homeowners in those areas when they have a failing system. There's not too many empty lots left within those areas, but most likely if somebody applied for a building permit, they wouldn't be able to put in a conventional system. They'd have to put in one of the newer, higher-tech systems that work better in those kinds of conditions.
Yeah. And are there areas of East County that are not the best to put in septic areas? Tanks, I mean?
You know, there are. They did an exclusion analysis to look at areas where we probably didn't want to approve any type of major development that would use septic systems. So Rich will be working directly with the planning department on doing further water testing and things in those areas, soil testing. Because, you know, you can take a lot of general data and come up with analysis that SWCA did, but you still have to be on the ground and do individual tests in different areas because it can vary, you know, quite a bit.
All right. The council also discussed the proposed local option sales tax for transportation of 0.25%. So the council is interested, but you're thinking that this is not the year to do it given the education bond we've got?
You know, that's just one factor. We're also just feel like we're not quite ready. We're going to be working on fine-tuning a transportation plan, and we'd like to get that developed further so we know what kind of expenses we'll be looking at and what type of resources we're going to need. There's also other funding sources, other taxes available to us. So once we get our plan in place, we can see which of those fit best with what we're trying to accomplish. The cities were on board, but they weren't interested in doing it this year either. So, you know, the downfall is we won't be able to ride on the coattails of all the publicity that will be created over the other counties that are going forward this year, particularly all those along the Wasatch Front.
Okay. Finally, just wanted to ask you about the council did approve a new site for the ski maintenance building there at Canyons Village there. So the controversy now over. Chris Robinson had some questions, though, about that density on the site, 180,000 square feet. So if this gets moved, then the council then gets to approve where it's moved to?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's because it would require a change to the SPA agreement, so that has to go through, or the development agreements that would have to go through the council.
Okay. Hey, Kim, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Egyptian Theater bringing theater back this weekend. On the phone to tell us about the show this weekend, I have actress Tatum Trotter. Thanks for joining us, Tatum.
Hi, thank you.
So the Egyptian is opening Neil Simon's musical. They're playing our song. It runs Thursday night through Sunday night. Tell us a little bit about the plot of the play.
Oh, it's a lovely little show about, it's sort of based on the life of Carol Bayer Sager and Marvin Hamlisch, who Marvin Hamlisch is a famous music writer who wrote shows like Chorus Line. And Carol Bayer Sager was a lyricist that he had a little bit of a relationship with. So it's sort of based on their relationship. It follows Vernon Gersh, who is a composer, and Sonia Walsh, who I play, who is a lyricist. And so they get together to write, and Sonia is a little bit starstruck of Vernon because he's very successful, and Sonia is not too successful. She's a little eccentric, a little weird. But as they start working together, Vernon's sort of staunchness kind of goes away, and Sonia loses a little bit of her craziness, and they start having this relationship. And it sort of follows the struggles of a real relationship, that relationships aren't just, you know, always happily ever after and easy. They take work, and if you don't work at them, they fall apart. So it has a really lovely message, and it's just a delightful little show.
So if it's Neil Simon, should we expect a laugh?
Yeah, it's classic Neil Simon, very wordy and very humorous, but some music is kind of peppered in there. I like to say that this isn't necessarily a musical. It's more of a play with music because Alex Allred and I, who plays Vernon, we are on stage the whole time, and we literally just talk the entire show. And then there's a chorus of six people, three girls that are like sort of Sonia's inner person, and the three boys that are Vernon's inner mind, inner person. And so they come in and they sort of add a little humor and do the songs and dances with us. But it's mostly just Alex and I doing that witty Neil Simon humor.
Okay. Again, it opens Thursday. It runs through Sunday. Showtime's Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 6. And tickets are reduced a bit on Thursday night for $19, parkcityshows.com. Good luck, and then thanks for being with us, Tatum.
Thank you so much.
The Park Silly Sunday Market, celebrating the Red Cross at this Sunday's market. In the studio, I have the founder of the Silly Market, Kimberly Kuhn, who's also a board member of Red Cross, along with Heidi Ruster, she's the regional executive officer. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Leslie.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
So, Kimberly, as a board member, why did you want to bring the Red Cross to the market?
Well, it's all about awareness, and it's the bigger picture on the state level, and it's something that I've learned very closely with Heidi in the last 2 years about preparedness plans and what really happens when relief needs, you know, to happen. And I've been really close with the Red Cross due to some circumstances in my own personal life, the Atlanta Olympic game bombings and also 9/11. So it's really a passion of mine. And I met Heidi 2.5 years ago, and I am loving it.
Okay. So what have you got planned then for Sunday?
So we're so excited to be partnering and also to be hosted by Park Silly. The Red Cross has been happy to be in Park City and have a little bit more of a presence. And this allows us to really share our message at Park City on Sunday and really be able to share with people the need to be better prepared, but also say thank you to so many individuals that have supported the Red Cross and look at different opportunities to be engaged with us to look at volunteer opportunities and look at our other services like serving the military and taking a CPR class, that kind of thing.
So you're going to have a booth there at the market then?
Yes, absolutely. We'll have a booth there. We've had a booth several times in the past, but come by, get some more information, learn how to get more involved.
Yeah. So when we think about how the American Red Cross is, what work it's done here in Utah recently, anything in particular?
Interestingly enough, I just talked to Summit County yesterday, to Julie Booth, and we were just talking about what Red Cross has done to Summit County, actually, the little piece of the pie of state of Utah, and it's wildfires right now. And, you know, we do a lot of work with the electrical Rocky Mountain Power with people that can't afford power, and, you know, Heidi could tell a lot more.
So the majority of our services are around single-family fires, so providing support to individuals every day throughout our state that have a fire, home fire. We're able to get them their basic needs, emergency needs taken care of, but every day being able to provide preparedness education and resources to be better prepared if you have somebody that has a heart attack, to making sure that you're prepared if a wildfire comes our way. We see all the smoke right now. We know the potential is there. So to give you tools like apps and other technical resources that you can easily be prepared at any moment, any day.
Yeah. So what you do is pretty serious stuff, Heidi, and what these girls do on Sunday is pretty silly. It's a good a good mix?
Yep, it is. We're just getting the awareness out. And people are really interested in, you know, getting their homes prepared and their cars prepared. So come by the booth. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. You're going to be there Sunday, Main Street from?
Yep. 11 to 1.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to add?
No. Thanks so much for having us. And come on by. Find out how to be more engaged. And thank you for everybody's support of the Red Cross in the past.
Great. Heidi and Kimberly, thanks.